There are two ways to be healed, by faith and by the gifts. By writing other tongues, so that's gifts. You can have faith in the anointing, or you can just have faith in the Word of God. Faith in the anointing is faith in power. Faith in the Word is just faith. And faith in the gifts is simply power. And what happened to him was the power of God singled him out and healed him. He didn't come to be healed, didn't believe he would be healed, said he didn't believe anything. He was not eligible for a hearing aid, said it wouldn't do him any good, and yet he left with his hearing. Interesting thing about the gifts is God does what he wants to. Now, there's a sovereign side of God. God in his sovereign... I like what one minister said. He said, God is sovereign according to his word. This is God's sovereign word. And in this word, he says what he will and won't do. Now, if you're healed by faith, everybody can be healed by faith. But not everybody's going to be healed by a gift. Some can be healed by the gifts, but not everybody. Now, if you waited on your birthday to see if I was coming with a gift, you don't know if I'm coming or not. I may have come last year with a gift. Maybe I'm not coming this year. You can't demand a gift from me. You can't demand a gift from God. I told you the story, and I love the story. A little man at this church told me he injured his right knee, and he came thinking pastor would minister to people that Sunday morning, but he didn't. So he came back Sunday night giving pastor a second chance. That's what he told me, to minister, but pastor didn't. So he was really discouraged. See, he's expecting a gift. He's not exercising any faith. He's not reaching out for anything. He's just standing there as a victim of an injury, expecting God to just single him out and do something. That's a gift. That's in the realm of the gifts. God gifts people. He said in his word he would do that, but he doesn't do that for everybody. If you want to be sure that you get your healing, you need to exercise your faith, because faith works for everybody. Faith works all the time for everybody. The gifts work where God works them. I'll prove that to you through the scripture. Well, he told me he came back the next Sunday, and pastor said, he said, you won't believe this. I said, well, I am a believer. I probably will. But he said, pastor said, I want to minister to everybody who injured their left knee. But he wasn't eligible because it was his right knee. He said he was so discouraged. He went out in the parking lot and stomped that knee, and he said, I'm healed and I know I'm healed. And the minute he did that, see, he exercised his faith. And the minute faith kicked in, immediately he was healed. He could have had that healing the week before, but he didn't try to exercise any faith. He didn't do what faith does. Faith is not what you have. It's what you do with what you have. Faith is knowledge and action. You can have knowledge without action, and you're not going to get anything from heaven. You can know all the facts and all the data. You can take the plumbing test, study the book, take the plumbing test. Doesn't mean you can fix the sink. And so if you have faith, it means you know what God said, you believe what God said, and you're acting and responding. Now, the difference in faith, whether you believe in the anointing, you remember the anointing is transferred from a person to you, or sometimes from a cloth to you. I told you the story of the little lady who ordered a cloth from Smith Wigglesworth. It came in the mail with a note, please gather your family around you and put this cloth on the sick lady. But so the lady came in and put the cloth. She opened the envelope, put the cloth on the pillow by the sick lady, said, I'm going to go out the barn and get daddy. I'll be right back. But when she came back with daddy, the lady was already up shouting, because she reached out and touched the cloth by herself. See? And the anointing flowed. So the anointing flows, and you can have faith in the anointing. It's a wonderful way to be healed. You can just know what God said. He said, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, and I sent my word to heal you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. And just standing on the word of God without any transfer of power, you can be totally and completely healed. And that works for everybody all of the time. The difference in faith and the gifts is if you're healed by faith, it's what you start. You initiate. It's what you do. You're not waiting on God to do anything. When God sent Jesus to the cross, he did what he was going to do. You know, sometimes we pray for people that are lost and we say, Lord, save them. Lord, save them. That's the way we pray. That's an ignorant prayer, by the way. What was it you wanted God to do? He's already been to the cross. He already did save them. What's the problem? They need to receive that. They either don't know they're saved, or they've refused to receive it. You're praying for action on the wrong end. God's already done what he could do, what he came to do, what he wanted to do. It's the same with healing. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. It's done. It's already in the account. If you set up an account and you said, I put $1 million in your account, it could come and go. I could live and die without ever touching that money. I have to go receive that money. I have to go to the bank and sign my name and make a request for the money that belongs to me. Some things belong to you, and everything that belongs to you comes to you by your faith in God, by your confidence in him, by your knowledge of him, and by your action based on that faith. Faith always takes action. It always does something in order to receive. Now, when you get up in that prayer line, that's one thing that you're doing. You're doing that. You're saying, I believe in the anointing. I believe in the transfer of the anointing. I believe it's coming into my body now. And when you leave there, you say, I believe it's working. It's not a matter of you feel like it's working. You believe it's working. You don't have to see that it's working. Now let's look at Thomas in John chapter 20. I want to show you the difference. I believe after tonight we will have said everything we need to say along this line. We can move on. We've been inching along, and I love inching along. You know, teachers like to be thorough, and I like to be thorough. And so this has really suited me. Now, all the disciples saw Jesus. This is after the resurrection, John chapter 20, except Thomas, he wasn't there. And when they said to Thomas, you know, we saw the Lord. Now, you know why they believed? They saw him. So you can't throw any rocks at Thomas and give them any accolades. They believed they were there when he came. Anybody can believe what they saw. It doesn't take a Christian to believe what you're looking at. Now, let me give you this analogy. How many believe you have on shoes? Looks like to me you'd know you had on shoes. Isn't that right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith and belief, belief being the verb, faith being the noun. Faith is the substance of what you don't see. It's not a matter of faith. I'm looking at my shoes. I did wear my shoes. I know I have on shoes. I'm not believing it. You believe in, you exercise your faith in what you're not seeing. When you come to see it, you can turn loose of your faith and put your faith on something else that you don't see. As long as you don't see it, you hold it in the realm of faith. You hold it in the realm of faith because of what God had said. The disciples believed Jesus was raised from the dead. They were there when he appeared. They saw him. Thomas was not there. And he gives these wonderful words in verse 25. The other disciples said, we've seen the Lord. He said, except I see in his hand the print of the nails and put my finger to the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. He said, when I see it, I will believe. When I see it, I will believe. Well, that is not Bible faith. It's not even scriptural faith. It's not Christian faith. Because even a sinner can believe what he sees. But look what Jesus said when he appeared the second time. Thomas was there, verse 27. He said to Thomas, reach hither the finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless. He said, if you have to see to believe or feel to believe, that's faithless. Faith is the substance of things not seen. Faith doesn't operate in the realm of the senses. Once you're operating by senses, then you don't need faith. See, sometimes we get prayer and our faith is working. But the minute we realize that nothing has happened, we feel around in our body and it doesn't seem like anything's happened, we turn loose of our faith. No, faith is what you hold fast to, what you hold on to until your body registers that you're through with that faith for that thing. You understand that? And so Thomas said, I'm not going to believe anything I can't see. And Jesus said, don't be faithless. Don't be without faith. So faith believes until it sees. It believes until it sees. It takes the word of the living God. Whether you believe in the transfer of the anointing or whether you believe in the promises of God or whether you're using a combination of both. Faith works for everybody that will believe until they see. Everybody. But it's what you do. It's not what God does. God's done his part. He sent Jesus to die. And Jesus did die. And he died for sin and every consequence of sin. Now, in the Garden of Eden, when it was created or recreated, God said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. He comes down to the final. He looked it all over and said, it's very good. That's Genesis chapter 1. And then he says to Adam, don't eat of the tree of knowledge in the middle of the garden. The day you eat, you shall die. He said, don't touch that tree. It was a warning. You don't want to touch that tree. Same kind of warning you give your children. Don't touch stove, stay out of the street. God is letting him know what would not be good. And that's the way God is. He comes to Noah and he says, you know, you're fixing to need a boat. A really big boat. And this is the way Almighty God is. He loves us. He loves us. And so he warns us. And he warned Adam. But Adam took of that anyway and he sinned. Now when he sinned, it opened the door for the works. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil does a lot of different things. And you go through the chapter, what happened after sin, it says thorns appeared. Next time you stick your finger with a thorn, you can blame the devil or Adam, whichever way you want to go. It says sweat appeared. It says by the sweat of your brow, you'll earn a living. In other words, poverty came with sin. It wasn't God's intention that anybody be poor, that anybody have any lack. He intended them to eat in the garden, to live in the garden, and to be bountifully supplied. But sin broke that chain of command. You'll also find that sickness came. His physical death, he said, dust you are, to dust you shall return. So physical death and sickness accompanies physical death is a result of Adam's sin. So when Adam sinned, a lot of destruction came into our world. But when Jesus came, he paid for all of sin and everything that came with sin. You know, if you buy a present, if I give you a present, the box belongs to you and the bow. The card, the wrapping, whatever's inside, it all belongs to you. I'm giving it all to you. And when Jesus came, he did a lot of different things. He took care of sin, and he took care of everything that sin had done and was doing. Now, he's done his part. And faith says, I know what you did. I know what you did. And it believes what God did, and it acts in response. It doesn't let its physical body or senses tell you it's not happening. Faith said, I don't see it, I don't feel it, but it is happening. Because it begins in the spirit, it begins on the inside. Now, here's the difference in faith and the gifts. Faith works for everybody, but it's what you do. Jesus did his part. It's what you do. You have to start something. Whatever you desire, when you pray, that you believe, that you receive. Whose desire is it? It says, whatever you desire. It's Mark 11:24. Whatever you desire. When you pray, who's praying? When you believe, who's believing? And who's receiving? It all rests on you. God has done his part. He sent Jesus. Jesus died. He suffered for sin and every consequence of sin. He has done his part. He said, now whatever you desire when you pray that you believe. Now here's what it doesn't say. Whatever you desire when you pray that you believe that Mabel can receive. So you can't get Mabel's healing for her. I cannot do this for you. I can't agree with you. I can loan you everything I know. I can line my spirit up with your spirit, but you got to be moving. Even if you're inching along and I'm running, or you're running and I'm inching, we can still come together for where two agree on earth is touching anything, what? But we agree, we come together. And I'm agreeing with you. I can't do this for you. It doesn't say whatever Becky desires that you should receive. It's whatever you desire when you pray that you believe. That you receive. So faith is for everybody, but it's initiated by the person who has the need, the person with the desire. If you don't do anything, faith is not going to work for you. And that won't be anybody's fault but yours. So you have to do something. Now in the gifts, which operate by the power of God, God just sovereignly comes and puts his power in somebody and heals them. The gifts of the Spirit has absolutely, positively nothing to do with medical science. If you go to the hospital and you have successful surgery or successful treatment, you cannot say that God healed you. Because he didn't. You can say that God and the doctors have worked together. And God has aided the medicine to be effective in my body. But it wasn't divine healing in the sense that it was a gift. Gifts of the healing come from God, exclusively from God, without any natural assistance of any sort at all. And they're not initiated by you. Faith is initiated by you, whatever you desire, whatever you desire, whatever you desire, whatever you believe, whatever you want to receive, wherever you're standing based on what Jesus did. You know you can't stand for something illegal or immoral. That won't work. But if it's in the scripture, you can say, it's paid for, it's mine, and you can receive it, and you can stand for it. And it'll come to you. And it comes to you if you continue standing and standing and standing. How long do you stand till your body knows? One lady told me she was an obstetric nurse in a specialty hospital. And they dealt with people who thought they were pregnant but weren't actually pregnant. You can be so sure you're pregnant, they said they would come in, they had gained weight, they would actually go into labor and deliver. She said, I saw it several times. The doctor would say, now this lady is not really pregnant, even though she looks pregnant. She's not pregnant, she's not carrying a child. See, she had set herself to have that baby, and she wouldn't give it up. Even though they showed her the test, they counseled her, they brought in all the experts, she wouldn't give it up. It's that same tenacity that gets you your healing. You say, I am healed, God said I was healed, and I'm not giving this up. And I'm holding fast. She said, she told me, she says, I was there when they delivered nothing. When they went into labor and had contractions and delivered nothing. That's amazing, isn't it? But see, God wants us to use that same kind of stamina to hold fast and believe we receive because it'll work for you. Because it'll work for you. It'll work for you. It'll work. It works for everybody that works it. He says, whoever will speak to the mountain. I'm not supposed to have to speak to your mountain. It doesn't say talk about your mountain either. It says speak to it. It says, I command you in Jesus' name, disease on this body. I command you to flee. I talk to my body all the time. I tell it what it will and won't do. And I'm holding fast till I see some things change. And I'm not giving up. I'm not relinquishing. I'm not changing my mind. God has paid for it. Jesus paid for it. It belongs to me. Now, I could wait on a gift. Never receive a gift. Because a gift is initiated by God. God decides where to send the gift, who to send the gift to. He knows why he's doing that. And you'll never fathom the grandeur of God's thoughts and mine. Now, we turn to John 5, where we have this wonderful example of the gifts. So let's look at it one more time. So I want to be healed by a gift. Will that work? Maybe. Maybe not. God might not choose you. Why wouldn't he choose me? I don't know. You'll have to ask him. But he's already told you. Four times in the scripture says the just shall walk by faith. Live by faith, walk by faith. He doesn't say the just. You're the just because Jesus justified you when he died for you and you accepted him as your Savior and Lord. You became the righteousness of God or you were justified. It's the same thing. Same word in the Greek. Just and right, righteousness, justification is all the same concept. Well, he made you just and he didn't say the just will live by the gifts. Now, I love it when the gifts come and there's a specific purpose that they come for and they're a wonderful thing. And the scripture tells us to covet them. Covet is a very strong word. If you covet something, it's not a gentle, a like it, take it, or leave it word. When you covet something, you're having it. And we begin to see the necessity of the gifts and their purpose and what they're designed for. We begin to cooperate with heaven by coveting. The word covet is a negative and a positive word. In the positive, it means to be zealous of. In the negative, it means to be jealous of. It means to be very warm for something or very warm against something. It's a very strong word, and we're told not to covet, but we are to covet the things of God and the gifts of God to be on display. Now, in John chapter 5, Jesus asked this man, verse 6, will you be made whole? He had excuses. He said, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool while I'm coming other steps by before me. In other words, he's saying, I can't be healed. I can't get to the pool by myself. The first one in the pool always got healed. It was a demonstration of the power of God. Nobody knows when the angel's going to stir the pool. He'd been waiting and waiting and waiting. Said he'd not walked 38 years. That's a long time. So everybody at this pool must have known this old boy, don't you think? You sit somewhere for 38 years, don't you think they'd know you? I'm sure they would. He said, no, I can't. And Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, there's no faith there. How did he get healed? Jesus just said, get up. How do you get healed? By the gifts. Why'd God do that? Well, sometimes the gifts spark faith in others. Now, how many people who knew this old boy, who saw him walk, are now interested in what Jesus is doing? I bet lots of them. Sometimes that's the purpose. The gifts spark faith. Now, I know he didn't have any faith because verse 13 tells us he didn't even know who Jesus was. He that was healed, they asked him who healed him, who told him to take up his bed and walk. And he said, he that was healed wist not who it was. He didn't even know who it was. Didn't have a clue who it was. So there's no faith there, but there's a gift there. There's a gift there. God gave him the gift of healing. Now, I was healed by the gifts one time. But you know, it doesn't say the just. God expects us to use our faith, to stand by faith, to refuse to relinquish those things that have been bought and paid for. If I came to your house, I love your house. I have my bags sent over. I'm moving out your sofa. I like mine better. You'd take out your deed to the house, call the police, and exit me. You wouldn't give up your house. But the minute your body says a little pain here, you think, I knew it. I'm not healed. You let your stupid body talk you out of what God's doing on the inside. And it is a stupid body, and this is the reason I say that. Worked with sick people for over 7 years, and they're people that were determined. They knew they were sick. And 20 years later, they're still alive. They still haven't found anything or much wrong with them. Why did their body keep saying, you're in pain, you're sick, this is not working? Why did their body keep telling them they were in pain? It's dumb. And other people would go to the doctor just for a routine physical, perfectly normal, and 3 weeks later be totally dead and gone. The doctor said, you have cancer, you have not very long to live. I've seen that happen. Why didn't their body tell them they had cancer? Why didn't their body tell them they were sick? It's dumb. You have to have faith in what God has said. God has said, I healed you through Jesus Christ. If you'll believe that, you can receive it. If you'll hold fast to it, don't let your body. I know what people do. You know, we're all tempted. This is a human body and it's a human mind. Oh, too bad about that. But it is. And you get up one day and your glucose, your sugar level is only 82. You're thinking, oh, especially if it's usually 182 or something. Or your blood pressure is normal. And you think, wow. You think, I'm healed. But you're basing that on your blood pressure. You're not basing it on the word. And anything you base on the physical symptoms is going to disappear. Anything you base on your physical symptoms is going to eventually disappear. The physical symptoms are not strong enough to hold you in the realm of healing. You got that? But faith in God, faith in His words, I know what you did, God. And if your sugar level is 82, 182, or 282, you say, thank God my pancreas secretes the right amount of insulin for life and health. Thank God my veins and arteries carry no debris that would hinder my health or shorten my life. Now I can't see what's in my veins and arteries. I suppose if the doctor thought he needed to see them, they'd work that out. But nobody has actually seen what's in there. But when I think about my health and my body, I say my veins and arteries do not carry any debris that would injure my health or shorten my life. And if I had symptoms tomorrow, I'd still say the same thing I've always said. My body, my veins, and my arteries does not carry any kind of debris that would shorten my life. So what if you drop dead tomorrow? So what? One thing the devil does is scare people about death. If you're in the realm of fear, your faith is not going to function. Get over it. You can only die one time. Heaven is your home. God's your father. I have an entourage of people I know there. Songwriter said, just think. Stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Breathing new air and finding it celestial. Touching a hand and finding it God's. Think of it, waking up in heaven and saying, I'm home. I'm home. Get over it. Don't let the devil and death scare you. It'll prevent your faith from working properly. Faith works whatever you desire when you pray that you believe that you receive. This man was not in faith. God gave him the gift. He gave it to him. He didn't know who Jesus was. It was given to him. It happens today. It happened to me one time. We had a minister here. He said, I want to pray for somebody's throat. It's not a sore throat. He named every throat condition under the world. He says, it's something really, really strange happening. And Wayne and I had just discussed it. I said, I don't know, Wayne. It's not exactly a sore throat. It's named all these things. It's not bronchitis. It's not this. It's not, I don't know, what is it? I said, he said to him, it's something strange. So I came. I know that's me. We went out to eat after church. Went to Chili's, I'll tell you where we were. Ordered a hamburger, which I'm not a beef eater, and I don't know why I ordered a hamburger. And came, it was this big, and I couldn't even drink water. I couldn't even swallow water. I don't know why I did that. Except maybe my spirit was working in my brain. If my brain had been working, I wouldn't have ordered it. And when they brought it, I looked down and I thought, oh, I don't see. When I left the church, I felt exactly like I felt when I arrived at church. Still had something strange happening. Been happening for days. I didn't feel any different. I didn't look any different. But suddenly it dawned on me that was a gift. And the minute I said, that was a gift. It was a gift to me. Just like that, it disappeared. But you know what? I'm a big girl. I've been at this a long time. How many times God's going to give me a gift? Maybe just that one time. Because this is a just show. Live by. So, but I wanted a gift. Me too. Well, I can't guarantee you that it'll ever come to you. Now here's why it comes. John 6, 2, we're going to read a lot of scripture in a hurry. You know I can do things in a hurry. I love these because it helps us. We're going to covet these gifts. We're going to desire them. Verse 2, a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Not working of miracles, but healing miracles. Great multitude follow. One thing the gifts do is attract attention. They draw crowds. And anytime we've had a minister here who's ministered largely by the gifts, we've had an auditorium full over and over and over. No matter how many days we go, the auditorium keeps filling up. People keep coming. We've had that several times. I'm always amazed. I think, you know, it's in the second week, they'll never come back. And then they come and you're hunting a parking place and you're all here and all of your friends are here because the gifts always attract attention. And that's part of the reason God does that. You know, you can't preach to the sinner that's not here. It's just a word to the wise. And look at John chapter 10. sometimes the gifts. I bet everybody that could stand and that was looking at that old boy at the pool that day, been 38 years sick, I bet they were all watching and looking. We read a true story, a man that was healed. He had, did not walk, could not walk, had not walked. He was healed. Next morning, he decided to weed his flower bed, so he's out on the sidewalk weeding his flower bed, but he's sitting down weeding. His neighbors, two brothers, lived next door, and they saw him sitting there, and they thought, it isn't that sweet. Thought somebody carried him out there and set him down, you know, so he could get a little sunshine and do a little work. And they're watching him. They're sitting on their porch rocking, all retired fellas. And he got up and went in the house. And they went, and they trucked right over there and followed him right in. He said, oh, last night I was at this meeting and Jesus healed me. And they knew he couldn't walk. And here's what happened. The minister prayed for 12 people. He said, anybody that has anything wrong from the waist down, knees, ankles, hips, whatever. And he was one of those 12. 12 people. And when he got to each one, he said, run. And everybody that ran got healed. It's just a gift. They came to the 12th person, and they said, oh, I can't run. You know, I'm running years. I just can't run. They wouldn't receive the gift. They wouldn't take the gift. Most of those people had been carried down there and were standing, some standing with support from somebody else. Many of them couldn't stand by themselves. But the gift fell, and they responded to the gift. It wasn't a matter of faith. It wasn't a matter of knowledge. Faith comes with knowledge. But the gift came. Anytime you have a gift, you're going to have a crowd of people. Its word's going to get out. You know, where there's fire, you strike a match to your house and light it on fire. It won't be any time before you'll have a yard full of people. What do you suppose happened to them? Or you can look at the news and there's an accident. And how many people are standing on every street corner looking at the accident? You let God light fire to some things, and they're coming. That's what the gift. The gift wasn't really for you. It may come to you, but it's not God's primary way for you. His primary thing for you is use your faith. Now, Jesus said, verse 24, the Jews came and said, how long do you make us to doubt? If you be Christ, you just say so. Jesus answered, verse 25, I tell you, I told you, and you believe not. I love this, my favorite. I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now look over where he enlarges upon that. In verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works. They're talking to him about who he was. Are you the Son of God? Are you Christ? Are you the Anointed One? And he said, if you can't believe that I told you I was, you can look at what God is doing through me and believe that I am the Son of God, that God sent me, and I'm anointed of God. You should be able to look at the works. See, the works of God sometimes prove to the sinner and the unbeliever and the doubter. You know, we have sinners and doubters and sinners who doubt and Christians who doubt. And sometimes the works come and they prove to people that Jesus is really God. He was the Son of God. He really did come. He really is alive. He really is on the right hand of the Father. And they validate and confirm the message of the messenger. And that's often the reason for it. And he said to these, you know, if you can't believe me because I told you, he's already told you and you didn't believe, you can't believe my word, look at the works. See, and he's saying the Father does the works through me. And you know the Father sent me because of what the Father's doing through me. Well, look at John chapter 20. Let me show it to you again. That's why we stand for the gifts. Because we stand for the multitude and we stand for the sinner. We want the gospel out. And that doesn't mean God won't send you a gift. I can't say that he will. I can't say that he won't. Verse 30, how many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples? Signs, which are not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. They are written to confirm his identity, that he is really God. He is God come in the flesh. He is who he said he was. And that proves a lot. Now look at the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 11. This is the healing of the man at the gate, Beautiful. After he was healed, verse 11. As a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Why did they come? They saw something. They knew this old boy. He had been sitting at that gate for a long time. And they knew him and they saw. He's walking. He's leaping, praising God, it says in the scripture. And the people came together. You know how many of those people that came together got healed according to the scripture? You can't preach to somebody that's not present. You know, they say healing's the dinner bell. Over 5,000 people got healed, got saved that day. because once they gathered together, they saw the healing, and they all came to see what had happened, and Peter preached to them, and 5,000 people got saved because one man was given a gift. Amazing, isn't it? Do you think God would do that today? See, we have to cover, we have to draw from God. See, God, I know I'm healed. See, if I never saw another miracle, if I never saw, you know I'm saved. You can't talk me out of that. You say, you don't look saved. You don't sound saved. Well, I hope I always sound saved. It won't make any difference. I am. I am. And if I don't see anybody healed, I still know healing's right. If nobody else gets saved, I still know the new birth is right. 5,000 people, they came to see and they left saved. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing, amazing. I love it. Now look at Acts 8. What a mighty God I serve. This is Philip in the city of Samaria. Wonderful scripture, verse 6. Well, verse 5 says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which he spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Why did they give heed? Why were they listening, in other words? Why did they take time to listen? Because they saw something. They saw miracles. They saw healings. They saw unclean spirits depart. And they gave heed. Now look at chapter 9. This is in the realm of gifts. You know, if I'm healed by faith, nobody can see your faith. They can hear your faith. They can hear your confession of faith. They can see your actions of faith. But they'll help you lose your healing. They'll make all kinds of excuses. You know, they'll say, oh, you weren't really sick. Oh, that wasn't really the right diagnosis anyway. But you let somebody that can't walk, walk. And they're all talking about God. Chapter 9, this is the little girl that had died, Peter raised from the dead. Verse 41, he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed. See, you have to hear to believe. But why were they hearing? Word began to spread. You know, that little girl that died is alive. And people began to listen to what God was saying. They began to listen to the message. And through the message, they weren't saved through the miracle. They were saved through the message. But the miracle gave the message access to their lives. They heard the message because they saw the miracle. And it's that way. It's a wonderful thing. Now look again at chapter. This is not a trite. 13, chapter 13. This is not just something that's mentioned here and there. It's everywhere. This is just one man. And I like it because it's one man. He had called for Barnabas and Saul, verse 7, to hear the gospel. He wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, didn't want him to hear the word of God and was trying to discourage him. And so, verse 11, the glory of the Lord fell upon the sorcerer. He could not see for a season, blind for a season. That's the way God does something. The glory comes in for a season. God never makes anybody sick. Verse 12, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine. He heard the preaching, he received the doctrine, but what caused his ears to listen to the doctrine? He saw Elymas the sorcerer suddenly become blind. He knew God had intervened, and now he's listening. He's listening. Well, ministers always say healing's the dinner bell. You weren't raised on a farm. You may not know, I'll tell you. Chapter 14, they have this bell. It's usually a big bell in the yard. Anybody ever been to a farm where they had the big dinner bells? Oh, okay, you do know. And they ring that bell, and you're supposed to, way out in the farm, no matter where you are working, you come to dinner, it calls you to dinner. What's calling them to the gospel? What's calling them to hear what God has to say? What's calling them to the message? The miracle often calls them to the message. The message, they have to receive the message to be saved. The miracle does not save you. You cannot be saved because you received a gift. But once you receive a gift, or somebody receives a gift, and you're looking, then you're interested in the message. You're listening. It's a wonderful thing. 14:3 is a great verse. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word, gave testimony, or validated, or verified, in one translation, and verified the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. He verified what they were saying with signs and wonders. He verified not only the message, but the messenger, saying, these are my men, this is my message, I am God, I am working through them, they are speaking what I told them to speak. And he used signs and wonders to verify or validate that Jesus is alive, that he sent his messengers, these are his messengers, they're saying what he told them to say, and he verified it with signs. Signs call the group together. They verify the sonship of Jesus Christ, the fact that he is really risen and he is really alive, and they glorify and magnify God. And they get the group together so they can hear what God is saying. Now look at Mark 16. This one you know and have seen, but it'll make sense to you now. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with him and confirming the word. Doing what to the word?
Confirming
the word with signs following. You know, if you sign a document and they want it notarized, or they want a witness, they want somebody to confirm that that's really you and that's really your signature. And that's what signs do. They confirm this is really God's man. This is really God's message. And God really is alive, and he's really speaking to you, and you should really listen. And that's what God does. Now, why else would he do that? He loves you. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to prove all this to you, now that you know. I taught this lesson from bottom to top. And so be it. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, gifts of healings being just one of the 9. Here's what it says about them. Beginning with verse 4, chapter 12. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversity of operations. It's the same God which works all in all. The first thing you know about the gifts is they're diverse. The word diverse and difference, the same Greek word. They chose 2 English words. It's the same Greek word. It means there are varieties or distinctions of gifts, operations, and administrations there. They're different. Well, you know that. Healing's always different. Jesus didn't spit on the clay for every man, just for one. Naaman the leper is the only record we have of one dipping in a river and being healed. You can't do something because the other guy did. You do what God leads you to do. So it's always, the things are different. Well, you know, we like a system. Someone said if we had been when Naaman dipped at the river and came up free of leprosy, we'd have been the first to start a 7-dip healing society. But God says, you know, I'm going to do different things. I'm just different. I'm going to do different things. And then he said, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit, the way the Spirit manifests, is given to every man to profit. They're always different. They always profit. When something profits, it's real valuable. You know, if your money's making a profit, you're a happy person, right? So these things are going to profit. Gifts are going to profit. They're going to bring profit, and they're going to be different. They're not all going to be alike. God uses different, he uses different men in different ways. I mean, we had a man here, a precious man, preached a marvelous sermon. He preached on Matthew 8. Still remember, it's been a decade. Oh, maybe it's been long ago. 15, 18, maybe longer than that. And when he got ready to pray for the sick, he said, I'm not going to pray for the sick today because your pastor has a stronger anointing than I do, and I'm going to ask him to pray for the sick. See, he knew his gift. He knew where it was. He knew where it wasn't. Because we're not all alike. Because in the operations of the gifts, you're going to see different things. One man, he went to a meeting. And everybody, it was in this man. This man's still alive, so it was in that time span. But everybody this man touched, he was laying hands on people. Everybody he touched danced off the edge of the stage like this. Da, 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 da. He thought that was the dumbest thing he ever saw in his life. So he was in the back. He got closer and closer and closer. And he actually got too close. He stepped into the realm of the anointing. And when he did, he started dancing. He was sitting on the front row. He had moved gradually from the back to the front. Well, that's real different, isn't it? One minister of old who's long gone now used to spit on people. If you spit on people, you better be sure God has instructed you to spit on them. Because people aren't going to really like you to spit on them. Because different things happen. But see, you can tell by the Spirit. You can tell by the Spirit of God who dwells in you that this is really God or not. It could be something dumb and stupid. But it might be God, it might not. But you're going to know on the inside. See, I'm watching. If I don't like it or I don't think it seems right to me, I'm watching until my spirit says it's okay. One time a man lined up everybody and then didn't lay hands on them. I was new at Pentecost. I'd never seen anything done but laying on hands. That's all I knew. And he lined them all up, talked to them, sent them back to their seat. I thought, I just didn't understand that. And I said to the Lord, why did he do that? I heard right in the spirit. I told him to. I went, oh, okay. Let God do what he wants to do. Let him do it. He's not going to do it your way. One lady came for prayer. They asked me to pray for her, and I prayed for her. Talked to her a few minutes, and she wanted to be baptized Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues, which we believe in wholeheartedly. And I've talked to her several times, read her some scripture, and she was just totally uncooperative. You couldn't get her to open her mouth. And finally I said, ma'am, I tried to explain to her, you know, you can't speak in tongues with your mouth closed. Open your mouth in faith. Just open it because. She said, I'm not saying a single word until I roll up in a ball underneath the front pew. I mean, I was there. I'm the one she's talking to. I knew instantly what happened. I said, that happened to your friend, didn't it? She said, it did. That's the way my friend received. That's the way I'm going to receive. I said, well, you're not going to receive today. You can go. I can't help her. You can't tell God how to conduct his business. Why would you even want to with your peanut brain anyway? Let God do it his way. It's going to profit. And then he says, verse 11. All these, that includes gifts of healings, work as that one in the self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God said, I am going to do the gifts the way I want to do them. Now let's look at it again. It's in Hebrews. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by those that heard the Lord, God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. He's very clearly said in his word that the gifts come when I send them. I'm doing that my way. That's what he told us. And he has large, broad purpose. And he's magnified by them. And he said for us to desire them, to covet them, to strive for them. Because the world is going to respond. One missionary went to India, came home, he was there for a while, came home a complete failure. He's a marvelous Pentecostal minister, marvelous. He came home a total complete failure. He was not Pentecostal at that juncture. He came home disappointed, came home despondent, didn't know exactly what to do. I love his books on healing, I love them. In the United States, somebody helped him see the truth about divine healing, and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he went back with signs following, and when he did, all of India came to hear him. And he always ministered this way. He'd say, I want to minister to two people who are deaf in one ear, hearing one deaf in the other, because he wanted them to be able to hear his words. And he put his hands on that deaf ear, and just like that, it opened up. And somebody asked him, how do you know that's going to happen like that? He looked at them like, what a dumb question that is. He said, what do you mean, how do I know? It is going to happen. It always happens. And India came and was mightily affected, and many were saved because of the gift of healing that functioned through him, that God sent according to God's will. Now, you know, if you abide in him and his words abide in you, you can ask what you will. The gift is what God does, and it reaches a broad spectrum of people. Faith is what you do for you. The gift is what God does for you. Faith is what you do for you because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Do you understand that?